You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of podcasting.
And by the human suplex machine.
Got that audio coming through.
We love Excalibur.
Hey, everybody.
That was to make Steve happy so he didn't feel left out that we were just talking about NXT.
Well, there you go. Hey, look, happy wrestling, everybody. We are coming to you live not too long after NXT Stand and Deliver took place two nights. And, I guess Sin City Steve and myself, we can start off with our quick gripe, and that's being the victim of not being able to start the show over with Peacock, something totally different experience from what we used to have with the network. You know, so some of us working people thinking, oh, when we get home, we'll just go ahead and we'll start it. And so anyway, we didn't get a chance to watch the first couple of matches. Actually, it's a couple of matches, but actually three matches. But at least we saw the first show and the two main events that was tonight. So that it is what it is. I guess it's a learning experience we have to go through with Peacock. Nevertheless, Stand and Deliver, man, I tell you, it still did not fail at all. Night one, guys. What stood out? Going back to Sin City Steve, you said, hey, Walter and Ciampa are going to kill each other. As far as I'm concerned, for night one, that match right there is what did it for me. What do you say?
Dude, I was so happy with that match. Mm-hmm. Those guys brought it. They absolutely beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Mm-hmm. It was great. It was right up there with the Walter and Dragunov match. Just great stuff by those guys. Yeah. And you said it best. Honestly, that stole the show on night one for me.
Yeah. There was one match. What did you guys think? I'll ask you when you saw this, Simon Street. There was one move. Hopefully you remember what I'm talking about. But it was one move where Walter looked like he had his foot on Ciampa's neck and almost did like a neck.
Yeah, it looked like he almost ripped his whole freaking neck off.
Yeah, and I was like,
his body to the right.
I was like,
that shit was sick. look. I'm just gonna speak on that real quick.
Yeah.
I was like, remember when the Fiend was pretending to crack people's necks and shit like Steven Seagal?
Yeah.
Pretty much Walter found a better way to do it and more believable, because I was like, dude, what's your head look like right now?
The Fiend used to snap people's necks?
You know, remember when the Fiend was pretending to snap somebody's neck? When he, come on, Sin City Steve, back me up. He did it a couple of times. I can't remember the match. He did it twice.
Yeah, he did it. They did it for like a couple of weeks, and then, you know, they stop that out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It was similar to what Zeus used to do back in the day. R.I.P.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Michaels, did the right guy win?
Yeah, I mean, you would have to look at keeping the belt on Walter. The only thing would have been to just, you know, if you wanted to send Ciampa over there for, you know, a period of time. But what they're going to have to eventually do is figure out a way to get the title off of him without him losing the title.
Mm.
So they're going to have to do some kind of like a 3 or 4 man match where he'll eventually lose the title and then end up here for full time.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep him over there forever.
Sure.
No, he's just too good.
Yeah.
How many more, how long a month or time do we have until the next War Games?
Like November.
So I would say that would be the best time to do it. Let him have his historic, would it be almost 3 year reign, and then have something happen at, you know, Takeover War Games, to where, like you said, that's, it'd be perfect. Imperium versus whoever else. And whoever loses, you know, Walter loses the title. Build up the storyline however you see fit.
Wait, you can't do that in a War Games.
You can do that in a War Games setup. If his team loses, Walter loses the belt.
To who? To whoever pins him?
I don't know. They could figure it out some kind of way. They could have whoever is the so-called leader of the opposite faction would win the belt. I'm just saying. I mean, nobody else came up with any great ideas. I mean,
the leader of the opposing faction would take the main plate on the belt, and then the side guys would take the side plates. I mean, it's simple.
There you go. No,
it's a shared belt. Fuck it. Why not?
Hey, we should sign up for War Games so that we can fucking do this. Michaels, you got to go first. Just going to let you know. You got to go first, bro. You starting off.
Oh. I sure as shit would not take a chop from Walter.
Right.
So, yeah. No, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, that table, okay, looked pretty damaged.
I guess I'm going first then, because I'm the only one who's willing to take that chop.
Dude, he was chopping up Ciampa with, looked like, a very severely injured, irritated wrist.
Bruh. With the same hand. He broke the fucking table.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. He broke that shit.
Yep.
Man, crazy. Well,
he's amazing.
Yeah,
but you know what? We all just sat here just going, Walter.
Right. Ciampa took an ass kicking and also handed out one hell of an ass kicking too.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure did.
Yeah, it takes two to dance because that broom was fighting back and it was fucking beautiful.
Absolutely.
You know what's so funny in the chat? Shant says he'll take a chop. Chris Gale also said they'll take a chop as well. So, you know, if Walter ever comes to town and is handing out free chops, we'll make sure we send him y'all names first.
You know, one.
I'll make sure that Chris gets a chop. Yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, if he's signing up for it, I mean, might as well, right?
Right.
You know, the most amazing thing about this conversation is, frankly, that Vince hasn't figured out a way to use chops as a cameo type thing where you pay like $300 to the WWE and you get one chop.
Just wreck their shit. Concave that chest.
Yeah.
They'd also have to obviously sign a waiver.
Of course.
Oh, of course.
100%.
Of course. But it's a fucking money making opportunity. And Uncle Bruce, if you're listening, just say it.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the Pete Dunne and Kushida match?
Pete who?
Pete Dunne.
Pete Dunne.
I love it. Pete Dunne. That shit was good.
Hey. Yeah. This is 12 hours of work in a day. So I'm you know, give me a break. But Pete Dunne, I'm sorry, and Kushida. What was you guys take? You know what? That's one of the matches I thought.
Wait. Are we not addressing the fact that you actually got the Japanese name right and the English
name wrong? That's awesome.
12 hours.
Apparently, I need to go back to practicing the American names. Go ahead, Simon Street.
No, I was going to say, actually, that was one match that I found to be next to, you know, what Steve was saying was still the show mm-hmm. with Walter and Ciampa. I felt like that was a good runner up for second. As far as if you like, and I love, submission style wrestling. That's basically what that was, you know, counter submission. I mean, both of those gentlemen worked very well with each other. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And if you think after watching Pete Dunne, a.k.a. Pete Dunne, do horrible and nasty things with fingers, this match, he just continues to amaze it. And shout out to Kushida because he was like this at the end. He couldn't even roll. And I just love it. I just love the stuff he does with fingers, man. That
well,
you would.
How do you mean that? Would.
That sounded bad. I didn't mean to say it like that. Just make sure nobody bend over or anything like that, you know. But no, I'm just saying in the end, the fact that Pete Dunne, what he does, the manipulation with the fingers and stuff, it for me, it never gets old. Maybe I'm just a simpleton, but it just never gets old.
Kushida did one move I was really impressed by. He actually had Pete's submission where he had both of his hands tied up, and there was no way for him to do a rope break by his hands, so he had to crawl over using his feet to do the foot rope. I thought that was pretty awesome there. Definitely a good match there. And I see people are in our chats. Wow. Shout out to everyone who's on with us and hanging out. But we'll continue. Anyone else want to mention about that match that stood out to you or didn't?
No, it was a good. It was okay. A good first match. Prior to that, the opening the pre-show match was Zoe Stark and Toni Storm.
Mm-hmm.
So it started off with a good setup by having that match first, giving Zoe a win over Toni, which was crazy.
Yeah,
to just like holy shit. So. She's literally lost to the last two champions now, and she beat Toni Storm. So we'll probably see some pushing coming along. But going from that match then into the start of the show, that was great. Also, what a good rendition of the national anthem, man.
Yeah, that absolutely was amazing.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
The gauntlet. I would say, Matt, you and I, we got that one right. We saw Bronson as being the winner of that. Was anybody shocked to not see Bronson as a winner? I know Simon and Sid City, you had a different choice, but were you shocked overall? Who you?
I wasn't shocked, mm-hmm. Not at all. I was pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that coming. I didn't figure that they would push him into night two in the North American title match, and I'm glad they did.
But they've been giving just as of late. I mean, from the new video package they gave him several months ago to now, when he stumps his feet and the whole camera ring shakes, to he's got this fly jacket that looks like the city he's actually walking through. I mean, you could tell there's a build on to Bronson.
You like all that shit, but you don't like a choo-choo train sound.
I
all facts.
Seriously, man.
Listen. When Bron's about to come out, that's fine. I don't mind it. But when he's about to run around the ring, I don't need to hear it. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Don't worry, Impact. I got you on this.
Thank you.
Get used to it.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, man.
Because that's just... when he goes up to the main roster, that's what's going to happen. You're going to hear like King Kong sounds or something when he's doing shit.
100%. Unless Vince McMahon passes away by the time that happens.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I said it. 100%.
Awkward silence.
There ain't no awkward silence. The only thing that'll be awkward silence is when he passes away. That'll be awkward silence.
Why are there
people? Anyways,
why are there people? One guy I ran into today. He said that he was annoyed by L.A. Knight because he was sounding too much like The Rock. I kind of heard a little bit of that in there, but yeah. I mean, I don't know. Are you a fan of L.A. Knight? I mean, what's your take?
I had a couple of people that I was talking to on Twitter that actually called him the Caucasian Dwayne Johnson. And I hadn't really drawn that parallel until I saw that comment, and then I went back and looked at you know, some material, and I'm like, holy shit.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that LA Knight has always had, you know, amazing gift on the mic. And I really want to see where they go from here with him in NXT. Yeah.
But don't you think that it's not that he sounds like The Rock? He does things that makes people think. First of all, he has the sunglasses on.
Yes.
Second of all, he does a lot of this. He does hand motions and this. He's very animated. And he's playing a character that's from Hollywood.
Right.
So you have all this combination. I just find it hysterical that if that is a knock on him, well, guess what?
No.
The Rock is not wrestling.
No, the people that had mentioned that on Twitter, they didn't mention it as a knock. They honestly, it was one of those things where they hadn't really seen much from him, and they were just kind of taken aback with, quite frankly, where this guy came from and why he hasn't been on WWE programming until now.
Yeah.
So.
No doubt.
And by the way, I'm glad you just pointed that out, because as I'm watching the last two nights, you gotta be wondering if Don Callis and Scotty and all those people at Impact are watching, going, "Hey, that was a great Impact pay per view. What the fuck did we do with these people?"
No shit.
Good point. Oh man. Okay, NXT Tag Team Championship, MSK, yeah, the Grizzled Young Veterans and Legado del Fantasma.
You know what I will say about that match is Legado Fantasma actually was putting in that work extra heavy. They look like a fine-tuned oiled machine, and dare I maybe say, I haven't seen that type of intensity out of them on a regular basis. I could be wrong, but man, they did look good. But they obviously weren't good enough to win. But I mean, obviously there was a lot. I think maybe they had to do that a little bit because MSK and Grizzled Young Veterans already have this ring rapport with each other, doing a couple of matches and whatnot. But it was just great. Obviously, that was one of my picks. Finally, they got what they deserved from the Dusty Cup, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked good with that gold. What the fuck is the problem you saying that they look good with the gold? I mean, I don't get it.
I don't know. I just, you know, you like gold things. You're liking fingers. I don't know, something weird is going on with you nowadays.
What the hell are you trying to connect both of those? Gold fingers? What? Gold finger?
Just made the connection right there.
What is this, a James Bond film or some shit? Or is that Austin Powers? Maybe it's Austin Powers. I didn't grow up watching Austin Powers like that, but boy. I see your point. Well, I didn't find it to be a great movie.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, it agreeable. That was definitely a great match. And shout out to MSK. You know, what's so great watching them is that, you know, so many times I just attended the Impact shows out here and just love watching them perform when they was under the Rascals. That's just one of the things I just always enjoy watching when it was all three of them. And now to see that these guys have come in, and I mean, they've always had the gift, but now, I mean, they've been awarded the NXT belts is just awesome. So shout out to them. And I can see them definitely going far in this business. So awesome there. Let's move over, though, to the women's NXT title. Man, Io's a beast, man. You know what I mean? She just don't care. She just go. I mean, even though we kind of all had the idea, I think all of us had mentioned Raquel was more likely was going to win it. Again, it's one of those matches where you go, well, is she? Because Io was really putting that work in, making you think, man, I mean, this looked like this could go either way. What's your guys' take on that? And shout out to Raquel Gonzalez. I mean, that's an awesome accomplishment to have made. What's your guys' take on that match?
Io was very, very trusting, which says a lot of Raquel, because mm-hmm. if you're gonna get on top of a skull and do that kind of fucking dive,
right?
By God, you gotta trust the fuck out of the person catching you. And good God, that was
just, yeah.
And that also was one of those instances where, at that point, it looks good to the viewers because it gives that idea that maybe she can win over a big person, you know, a
right.
beast, by doing something like that. But at the same time, that was kind of a telltale sign that her number was going to be up, because she's been champ for so long. You do something that incredible, which is going to be a highlight fucking thing they're going to use for years.
Yeah.
Where else do you go from here?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's time.
Yeah.
Get ready for the night after WrestleMania, kids.
Yeah, because Io Shirai's going to SmackDown.
Oh.
Plain and simple. I don't think she's going to go to Raw. I'm calling it right now. That's just my pick. She goes to SmackDown.
Exclusive. All right.
I think she goes to Raw and dresses like a pirate and tags with Asuka.
Or maybe she could do something more realistic. Go to SmackDown, do great things, and even get a chance to share some airtime with Rey Mysterio, who is somebody that she looks up to. You know, a little small shit like that sounds like a good number for Fox.
Maybe she'll go to SmackDown and beat the fuck out of Sasha Banks really, really badly. Just hurt her. I mean, just really, really make her bleed.
Okay. All right. Well,
or she could just go to SmackDown and beat the shit out of Rey Mysterio.
Or if you start with that. Dominic. Or start with Dominic.
Or Dominic. Both of them. Hell, same time. Fuck it.
She could take on the father and son at the same time. In a match.
Evil might have something to say about that.
In a match. Come on, man. Shit.
All right. Let's jump over into night two, which was tonight. Now, this is where Simon and Matt Michaels got to speak on, because Sin City, we didn't get a chance. We got to go back later tonight or tomorrow, whenever they decide to want to put it up and watch it. But the women's tag team
motherfucking Peacock.
Right. Damn Peacock, I tell you.
You guys are a little pissed off with the cock tonight, huh?
Pretty much.
At least it was multicolored, so at least you got like a nice ray of colors. Because the peacock has different colors. Shit, man. Goddamn.
Oh, man.
So you're talking about a rainbow cock?
Well, the peacock has all those colors. I don't know what kind of cock you're talking about. I'm talking about the peacock. Anyways, let's go. Let's just go.
All cocks pee, bro. All cocks pee.
Oh, my gosh.
Women's Tag Team Championship. Fellas, what did you like or dislike about this match? Matt Michaels, Simon Street.
It was probably the
lull.
Yeah, it really, there was nothing behind it, unfortunately. No. It really, you guys didn't miss much.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Simple enough. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was your basic storytelling. They had to have, you know, some champs retain. So,
yeah.
There was no way that setup was going to work for them to, you know, not retain. And as compared to the first night where you had Zoe and Tony and then Kushida and Dunn, this night your warm-up match was number one contender for tag team titles which was Fandango versus Maverick Drake and the big boy. And so Killian Dane, Maverick Drake are the number one contenders.
Yeah.
Which should make a very entertaining match with MSK. But you do go back and see that finisher because Killian Dane just power bombed Maverick Drake on top of, I think it was one of them guys. And it was hysterical because it would just, you know, it's just like, yeah, that actually makes kind of common sense. Or Dane would just pick him up and just throw him on top of the guy to win the match.
Yeah. That's basically what they've been doing this whole time. I mean, you know,
I like it.
I love their theme music. How it switches back and forth. My kid was watching and he's like, I like that music a lot. Like, you know, especially when we would pick up and kind of go like heavy metal, obviously. He was digging it, but the whole gimmick is catchy. So I agree with you, Michaels. It will be interesting when they go up against MSK.
Speaking of kids, Simon Street, Sean said, my children can't listen to this anymore, Simon. I think it has something to do with the Peacocks, but we're just gonna go ahead, you know.
And... Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Hey man, we can't lose anybody. We need the kids. Okay? We can't lose anybody.
Look, maybe it's time to have a conversation about the birds and the bees, Sean.
Ah,
you got this. Oh. You've done this before. I'm pretty sure. You got this.
I thought Damian Drake was old enough to listen to this kind of thing, but
that's awesome, guys. Let's
I assume he was talking about the younger ones, but hey, I don't know. Maybe we need to call Damian Drake and find out.
Let's move
Matt, on. Damian, if you're watching, guys, you're on the East Coast time. You need to go to bed. Get some rest.
Let's move over to the Cruiserweight Championship. How was that? Santos Escobar and Jordan Devlin. How was that match?
It was good.
Okay.
It was really good. I enjoyed it. It was high flying. Obviously, it was cruiserweight. And in the beginning part, Jordan Devlin was sticking it to your boy, Santos Escobar. I mean, he was whooping his ass. And that moonsault off the top of the ladder was perfect form.
Oh, wow.
That was sick.
I mean, it was perfect. They replayed it four times, I think it was.
Something like that, yeah.
Like, over, and you'll see it when you see it. But, I mean, like, man, it was really, really good. And then, of course, you know, as Santo said, you know, Fantasma is like familia. So you can see where that went of how he got that that W. But it was good. It was really good. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's definitely worth – that one is definitely worth the time to watch it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Figured that. The Johnny Gargano and Bronson Reed match. What's your take on that, guys?
It's fucking stunning.
Yeah.
Because they kept the belt on Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
And
didn't somebody say he was gonna win? Still retain? None of us did, right?
No one.
I think so. Yeah.
I think we said
other people.
Yeah. I mean, I think
whoever won the gauntlet. Jason
Bronson.
Yeah.
But what was really good about that match was they made Bronson say he stayed strong the whole match. There's also. Man, he did a fucking dive outside of the ring. Dude, he just did something. He did his fucking, I think it was like a 360, wasn't it? From the fucking top of the rope that Gargano moved out of the way for. There was just some brilliant stuff that he was doing. And the way that everything just played out, it kept him strong and kept the belt on Johnny. So you keep kind of that heel persona going with the way. And it wasn't going to be a Matt classic, but it did what it needed to do. And I think we're going to see Bronson most likely take that title at some point.
Yeah. Well, too bad it wasn't agree tonight. With
that. Well, I think they had, you know what? You have both big belts changing this weekend. So that's probably why they kind of like laid off of it a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, you know, you had to have some kind of retainment, because then that, like, Bronson hasn't been chasing that title yet.
Nope.
Right.
So you'll give him a little bit of the chase. And then that, if he takes the title from Gargano, then Gargano can, you know, do his chicken shit heel stuff to try to get it back. Or you have a couple matches where that's how he retains his title. So,
gotcha.
Both guys come out looking strong still. And also, it was sandwiched between a fucking a unification ladder match and Cross versus Finn.
Yeah, and that's a tough place to be in. So, I mean, the result is as good as it probably was going to get.
Yeah.
And might I also add, too, see what you think, Michaels. I was kind of really surprised with night one that, you know, Dexter Lumis didn't go all the way, given the, you know, what's going on between Dexter and The Way. Do you think that at some point, because I agree with you that Bronson Reed will probably eventually get that title, do you think that the next matchup for Johnny Wrestling is going to be Dexter Lumis? Do you think you're going to find some way to tie that in? Because I feel like that's something that a lot of people want to see.
Yeah, the problem is that they already did it, which is, you know, I don't know where you go with Lumis. The announcing was kind of really, it was more so pointed out that Indy, you know, that Indy had her thing for him, but also I think it was Barrett who said that Lumis wanted to be part of The Way. Mm-hmm. Which was very interesting, because no one has kind of said or hinted that.
Mm-hmm. And he just wants friends.
Well, and the cover on that seemed to be the well, I don't know if he was trying to be friends with them. So it was kind of an interesting thing. I don't know where they go with Lumis, to be honest. You've got a guy who is a face, who is supposed to be a heel, who doesn't say anything, is psychotic, but is also a good cartoonist.
You summed them all up.
You know, it's funny. He sounds like a whole bunch of guys I know that's on downtown doing those color art things on Fremont Street Experience. Like, you can see that same skill set that he has.
Oh, man. Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, cool. Shout out to everybody again hanging out with us in the chat. Shout out to Jade, who said she watched it, the show for the first time. I'm assuming NXT, that is, and she really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
When you
watch NXT, it's an experience.
It doesn't have Edge on there, so Jade, you should be happy with that.
Now, yeah, exactly.
Now, let me ask you guys a quick question. I don't want to go too down the road with it, but did y'all notice when you watched it on Peacock, like, night one, and I didn't notice it today, or at least I didn't pay attention to it. They were covering, and maybe it was because it was USA on night one, they would go to commercial break and there would be like silence. Like, it was, everything was muted.
Yeah.
And then you could tell after a certain amount of time, then it would pop up. Okay. I just wanted to see if everybody else experienced that. Cause it didn't happen this night. Cause that wasn't going to be on USA. Right. Night two.
Right. And that was only cause they went to picture in picture.
Yeah. Got you. Okay.
So basically what they did was, you know, it would take a couple seconds from the transition into the picture on picture, and then the announcers would pick back up, and then you knew when it came back from picture on picture back to, you know, out of the commercial break, because they kind of would say something like, you know, welcome back or something like that. So yeah, that's what was going on. You're right.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
The NXT championship match, Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. Now, that was a match we did see, Sin City, and
yep.
You know,
It was exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah.
It was exactly what it needed to be. It was decisive enough of a victory to legitimize the win. Both guys ended up looking credible and looking strong coming out of the match. But the right person won, and it's good to see Cross reclaim the title that he never lost.
And on top of that, goddamn, when he gets that contract for a Marvel movie,
oh dude,
he becomes a star.
Holy all damn day.
Yeah.
All damn day. He will be in a Marvel movie for sure.
Yeah.
And this is the part where Vince McMahon says shit like, what are you talking about? Isn't he already in Guardians of the Galaxy? Why does he need a contract?
Well, see, Vince hasn't seen him yet.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't even know he exists. He probably thinks it's Batista. What is
Batista doing? He doesn't watch NXT.
He doesn't watch NXT.
Exactly.
So
yeah, he doesn't at all.
The first time that Cross gets called up and he's backstage,
he goes, think it's Batista.
Vince is going to say, hey, pal, how's Hollywood been treating you? You're looking a lot thinner nowadays.
Let me tell you guys something. You all have been saying this for years. I think when Raven first told me this, I have a hard time believing it, that Vince McMahon does not watch the product. I just have a hard time.
Why do you think NXT is so good? Typically.
Well, I'm not saying though that he's a part of NXT. I'm just saying, doesn't he sit at home and watch it?
He probably doesn't have time.
He's in his own bubble, bro.
Yeah, he ain't got time for that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's creating two shows, basically. So honestly, you have to remember that NXT has basically been an entrusted developmental system. So this is like when guys would be brought to his attention, he'd be given tapes and then he'd never watch the tapes. So then they'd hire someone and he'd be like, who the fuck's this guy? And that's all they're doing.
Hey, Chris just said, or Vince will ask the writing team, when did they rehire Lars Sullivan?
There you go.
Jesus.
There you go.
Wow. That's
but
crazy.
But truth be told, I had this conversation a couple of days ago with, someone at my work who kind of asked the same question. And I kind of told him, I was like, Vince don't watch the product because he's too busy with other stuff. Like, he is not worried about it. And if you talk to a lot of people who are very successful business owners, they don't have eyes and hands on every freaking thing. They're only going to deal with what they want to deal with and what they can deal with. And then, you know, as Steve said, hire somebody to kind of look at it, you know, and then ask them later on.
I would just always think.
just look at it for real, have someone else do it, you know, hire somebody to do that.
I would just always think that if anything, you know, Vince would just kind of be looking over there just to see who he can snatch and say, just bring him over to my team, like Triple H, you can't have him anymore, bring him over to Raw, you know, that type of thing. I just figured that's why he would be kind of being his own scout, just seeing who, like, I can do things with this guy, you know what I mean?
That type of shit. He don't do that. He only does that if she has blonde hair and she's beautiful.
So
like,
then let
Mandy.
Me ask you all
probably
this.
Had an eye on Mandy let me, at the next
so let me ask you all this. So how do you get, how, if you don't know, you don't know, or maybe you do know, how do you get caught up? I mean, he can't, if he doesn't watch the show, apparently he's not calling them up. So who calls them up and say they go to where? And then how does Vince start to produce them from that point?
He doesn't watch it. He gets reports. That's it. He gets a breakdown. Okay. So Howard Finkel, his job used to be to watch videotapes of all these different fucking shows. And he'd have to summarize what he thought about X, Y, or Z. And that's what Vince would read. And then he would go off of that.
Mm.
Hunter's just doing the same thing, essentially. You know, okay. Hey, here's the progress of these certain guys. I guarantee you that Vince really didn't know who the fuck Keith Lee was.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You know, you just look at some of these people. Listen, Retribution was created, and I can guarantee you that he
he didn't see a single one of those people perform. He just wanted people that he could throw in masks and play these characters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it goes.
I got he's a visionary.
Yeah. The first night, he's gonna see Cross. He's gonna be like, Batista, nice to see you, and then look over and go, Sable, you look great.
Yeah. Damn.
That's about right.
Where does Balor go from here?
SmackDown.
Mm.
Probably, yeah. Probably main roster.
Yeah, again. Back to the main roster. He did what he needed to do in NXT. He basically helped to, you know, put people over and sow the seeds for the future of that brand.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
it was smart what they did, honestly, was because he had the most success in his WWE career on the black and gold brand.
Yeah.
So them taking him back to that brand only made sense. And this time around, yes, he carried the title, but he also put the right people over and again, sowed the seeds for the future.
And also they did something that kind of signified the potential of him going back up. And that was by using the screens tonight to show all these different pictures of him.
Right.
Like there was no, like that's never been done. So it seems like it was a send off.
Yeah,
so.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe he's going to join the Bullet Club in AEW.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
Stranger things have happened, man.
Yeah, it's true.
That their forbidden door kicked wide open.
And the unsanctioned match with Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, baby. Man. are either one of you guys all right? You know? You know, like, seriously.
Either one of us, guys? Huh?
No, I'm...
How the fuck did Kyle O'Reilly actually be able to walk out of the ring?
This is what I'm saying.
At least Adam got a stretcher ride out.
I think that was a send-off, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why I think he got stretchered.
Yeah.
Cole's going SmackDown.
Was everyone going to SmackDown?
Yeah, apparently.
They want to load the deck up. I'm telling you, they want to load the deck up.
But these are guys that – here's your problem with that theory. Adam Cole is no one to Fox's
exactly.
eyes.
Exactly. He's going to Raw.
Yeah, exactly. You're putting guys like that on Raw to build that brand up a little bit more because you have more leeway on that show. You don't on SmackDown.
Maybe so. So if he ends up on SmackDown, I want you to give me the biggest congratulatory.
Oh, fuck off. No way.
I'm just saying. If he goes.
No, you're not saying. I'm not going to do it. So fuck that.
You're not even going to give me the props, not even a nod.
No, not at all, because you have a 50-50 chance of going to one of the shows.
Right.
So what the fuck?
Come on, man. We ain't talking about the math, man. I just want to hear you say it.
If you would have actually said, no, he's going to Ring of Honor, then I'd say, if he shows up in Ring of Honor, I will absolutely go, yeah, man, way to go. Or he's going to join Brit at fucking AEW? Sure, I get it. I would give you props for that. He's going in the system up to either Raw or SmackDown.
Yes.
All right.
Well, look.
I guess he could go to NXT UK, I guess.
Oh, man. Look, I definitely like how they how the match started, man, bringing out the security guards on both sides and they taking their positions in the ring. You know, the only job the ref could do was count to three. They could do whatever else. Hell, the ref even got knocked out. I mean, dude, they...
Because he didn't listen.
Right. That is true. He didn't listen. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, he really didn't listen when he was unconscious. So, I mean, shit.
But listen, we've seen in ECW, we saw Bam Bam, you know, do the spot where they went through the rampway. But that was a fucking, you know, a built thing that was boards, okay? Cardboard, whatever the fuck they used, plywood, whatever.
Yeah.
They went through a fucking steel grate that was rigged. And Jesus, man, you could see on Kyle's fucking back.
Yeah.
All fucked up. Seriously, let me ask you this question, Michael, since you're the person with a wrestling PhD in promotions. I noticed that when there was the spot on the announce table, it didn't go through. Do you think that was purposely kind of done to set up possibly the surprise factor of them going through that ramp? Because I thought it was a little odd because it looked like O'Reilly.
Well, for starters, I think
anybody was trying to break it.
I do believe that anybody that attempts to do any move on a table, it's always supposed to come apart. Now, it doesn't. But I don't think anyone ever think they take a move and it's not going to not fall. That's right. Just my impression.
I think, DJ, you just hit it, right?
Yeah.
We're so accustomed to seeing the spots hit where, let's say 95% of the time the table does give. There is a margin of error at about 5% mm-hmm. where you'll see a spot where the table doesn't break just because of maybe the way they hit it or whatever. It happens. I got a feeling because that was the big fucking spot that those two crazy motherfuckers said, nope, keep the table fucking uncut. And they just went and fucking did that move straight out onto a fucking sturdy ass motherfucking table.
Yeah.
Which, whew.
Man. I mean, it looked like it hurt like hell.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why I say there didn't seem to be any give in that at all. Usually mm-hmm. when it has a little, you know, when it has a malfunction, you can see that they don't look like really fucking, you know, like it fucking hurt. Between the selling and between the fact that these guys are going to go fucking all out. Jesus Christ. I mean, Cole fucking kicked through the fucking rampway to pull him out.
That was so awesome.
You know what's so funny? Like NXT has been playing around with drywall because remember when Raquel threw? I'm just noticing, like, boy, they're really proud of their drywalling skills. Shout out to what was the guy that couldn't break through the drywall back in the day with the stormtrooper helmet? What was this famous guy's name?
The Shockmaster.
No.
Shockmaster. Yeah.
Shockmaster. It wasn't the drywall. Yeah.
It was
stupid. I thought it was a drywall issue.
No,
it was a fucking piece of. It was like a fucking football team in high school coming through the paper, except that his foot caught a little ledge of the buildup and he just fucking tripped.
Oh, okay.
Building came off. Yeah. No. This is far beyond Shockmaster days now, and. The introduction of a fucking chain in which when fucking Kyle gets punched in the face with a fucking chain and he still kicks out, it was just brilliantly fucking laid out. Those two,
yeah,
whoever was the agent on that match too, that would be very interesting to know
mm-hmm.
because I'm sure that they did 90% of what they were setting up, but whoever was the storyteller putting it together to make sense did a fucking phenomenal job. And there is your difference between main roster and NXT. The storytelling that the agents actually fuse in makes sense because they're not pushing for the WWE television 5-minute match, you know?
Right.
It's a lot different in those respects. So
let me ask y'all this question then. So NXT has a long tradition of just rivals. And although we know that O'Reilly and Adam Cole will be going to separate ways for right now, would you say it's one of the better rivalry matches that we've seen in NXT? I mean, where would you rank them if I were to throw names like Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano? I mean, where would you put them as this type of a match where it's just just some crazy shit.
Steve, do you agree on this sentiment? It was one match, and that is the key.
Right.
Yeah. It stands out. All those others, they had
to repeat the sauce. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because yeah, the same way I feel. Like, this one was all I needed to see, and they hit everything.
And yeah, the thing that obviously is very interesting is they only had this one match in NXT, but they had a hellacious feud in Ring of Honor. Right. So their careers have been linked together for quite some time, even before going to WWE. So to see yet again in a similar vein as Zayn and Owens, having their, their crazy feud on the indies, and then having it bleed over to 5,000 matches on, between NXT and the main roster. It was good to see a little bit of a contrast with these guys only having the one match, but also having that history with each other. So they have that, chemistry. They work extremely well against one another, and they know what one another are going to be doing. So mm-hmm. It was awesome.
And you'll probably end up seeing, similar to Sammy and KO,
yeah,
a WrestleMania match if, everything works on the trajectory for both guys. Yeah. We'll probably get a chance to do a WrestleMania match in a couple of years. And
yeah,
that'd be the end of their story.
Mac and Chris said he wouldn't be surprised if HBK had a hand in agenting that match.
That's what I was thinking as well.
Same.
Yeah.
Guy. So now that we've gushed about the match and said that it was awesome and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me that they couldn't do any better than the themes that they gave these two guys?
Oh yeah, the theme music, was very basic. And...
It was so weird, seeing these guys enter to new music after seeing them enter to that Undisputed Era theme song for so long. Obviously, I know that CFOs did that song. WWE didn't want to have to continue to pay royalties and all that kind of stuff. But damn, it's like it was both songs. Sorry, but they were just bad.
Got a feeling we'll see. Hopefully, we'll see Cole with a whole new, fresh coat of paint when he goes up. What was phenomenal though is as bad as that music was, you got to give it to Kyle trying to
do the air guitar.
Oh God,
he was hard.
Right? He was trying, bro.
He was really fucking selling it.
He looked like a kid in his bedroom, doing that. He always looks like that, but he looks like that kid in his bedroom jumping on the bed, riffing the guitar, the imaginary guitar. He just looked like he was right into it. His music, now that I think about it, his music wasn't horrible, but it was definitely basic, like the music you would pick on a WWE 2K game and you're creating a character, and those are the ones you have as opposed to the Star Spangled Banner.
Custom theme number 5.
There you go.
Here we go, though. Really? If you want to justify it, after all, the match was unsanctioned, so therefore...
Yeah, good point.
Those songs were probably just public domain because good.
I'm cool with that if that's the explanation.
I wish you would have said it in the first place. That would have made sense,
right?
So overall, as we sum up the show, you guys were pleased with both nights of Mania week here. You guys were pleased by both shows.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, at least they didn't have to trot out Mike Tyson.
And I do have to give NXT props, man. They did, as I said, they better do, and they did win on Wednesday for the ratings. Then again, how could they not? 768 to 688. So. They didn't just win by a couple thousand. They did put in the work, and a lot of people watched the NXT show. So that was awesome.
Well, the other thing that's very interesting about those numbers
is that is not counting the Peacock.
Right.
So, I mean, you could expect that number to be up, you know, quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it opens the door. What's going to be interesting to see, first of all, Tuesday nights, will NXT, you know, continue to have that average viewership, about 600,000, let's say 500,000, 600,000. Will they get a little bit more of a bump? Will there be any, you know, will the Peacock network be something that, you know, people are watching on the network? Because now it's the only show on Tuesdays. So we'll see what happens with that. And AEW at the same time, you know, now there's no excuses. If they,
right.
You know, they really, one thing that stood out to me in this whole idea of this feud, this Wednesday night war, was something that I was afraid of going back to when AEW started, and that was the involvement of TNT. Their edict of they didn't want any surprise guys who are big names showing up just fucked them, because boy, if you would have had Mike Tyson show up unannounced, how many people would have been fucking grabbing their fucking social media and go, holy shit, you got to see Mike Tyson just came out on fucking AEW. Mm-hmm. You already took away that element of surprise because you're a fucking network and you don't know how wrestling works.
Exactly.
And you didn't learn your lesson the first time. Was it, what, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, take that out of the equation, because the lesson on the first time was that that's how they got ratings, right? They also do not have anybody who is in that TNT family that was around 20 years ago, right? It's a whole new regime. And for them to say that they want it announced really, really makes no sense, because the element of surprise in wrestling is what gets the fans talking, not so-and-so is going to be on the show. And that's what we're finding. Listen, WrestleMania ends. Why does everyone tune in on Raw? Why does Raw do its biggest number of the year? Because everyone wants to see who the fuck is about to show up.
Yep.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, it's simple. So that is the first indication to me out of all the things. I'm not talking like, you know, like if they moved the show to Tuesday night, that's all scheduling, fine. But if you're telling the wrestling company what they should and should not be showing, announcing, doing, that's the starting of the red flags. So knock on wood, they don't have to deal with the network.
So the Wednesday night war comes to an end after 80 weeks. Couldn't they have just stretched it out for three more?
That would have been cool.
Oh, man. Well, Tuesday it is. Other than that, man, guys, that is the show. NXT Stand and Deliver. They definitely delivered both nights, and just getting us more pumped for this weekend.
Hey, big battle royal tomorrow. The Andre battle royal on SmackDown. So,
yeah,
you know, that was a nice way of, hey, we can't get this onto the card, so let's put it on Friday. Maybe get a couple of eyes, you know, focused on the product on SmackDown. So that's, you know, should be interesting to see what happens on SmackDown. And then, we're about to hit WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, man.
Who would you like to see win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal?
I would like to see Andre. I mean, it is named after him. I haven't seen him. Honestly, I have not seen him in a ring for almost 30 years now. So.
Okay. Oh,
I can definitely tell he's lost a lot of weight since then.
Oh, my God.
Definitely a shell of his former self.
All right, guys. So we will be back after WrestleMania Night 2, and we'll have the we'll go over the our WrestleMania analysis, and that should be it. So something to look forward to. We might even jump on to our chat as well. So if you have the Vegas Bad Boys app, download it. It's free on iOS and on Android. Just search Vegas Bad Boys in the app. You should be easily be able to download it and then be able to chat with us while it's going on. So that should be exciting. With that, we also want to shout out, some folks that really are helping us as we continue to build our podcast with promoting and everything. And we do that through Cash App. And both Storm and Mormon and Jade has definitely been two individuals that we just want to say thank you for helping us get to where we're trying to get to. Without both of you, man, but it would definitely be a lot tighter. So we thank you for that. If you want to help Cash App, it's just a little money sign, Vegas Bad Boys with a Z. Send anything you want, doesn't matter. $1, $10, $100, whatever you do, it just helps us help promote Vegas Bad Boys and the brand so more people can enjoy the program like you do. With that, we'll go ahead and end the show, and we thank everyone for listening. We'll see you back live Sunday night, and the podcast will be available Monday morning. All right, with that, peace. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.